It's good to see some of you returning back to the fold that were sick, and Jimmy and Paul, good to have you, and Sister, good to have you as well, and Miss Diana and others as well. But thank you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. I know that you could be home with your feet kicked up on your recliner, just resting and coughing and hacking at your own free will, but we appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord this evening. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to give you about four things pretty quick tonight, and then we're going to go to the house. But before we do, we're going to have a short business meeting. We need to consider a matter, and then we'll be done. And hopefully, if your boss is good to you and you have the day off tomorrow, you can go home and just rest and relax and enjoy the holiday. Matthew chapter 7, you found your place, let's stand to give respect to the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 7. Henry, if you could give me some monitor, please, I would appreciate it. Matthew chapter number 7. Begin reading in verse number 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judged, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I want to bring to you a message that I've entitled, How to Judge People. How to Judge People. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do bow our heart and our knee before you this evening, Father. We're thankful for your people who have been so faithful, Father. No doubt we're up early in prayer and devotion time, Lord, preparing their heart for the preaching of the gospel this morning, preparing their Sunday school lessons, preparing to receive what you have given them through the Sunday school hour. And Father, no doubt they're tired, perhaps a little weary this evening, Father. And I do pray, Father, as we enter into this holiday tomorrow, Lord, that maybe some won't have to work, Father. They can go home and get some rest, Father, and kind of catch up from the busyness of the Lord's day. Father, I pray for this message as it goes out this evening, Father. May you receive honor and glory through it. May you receive preeminence in it. Oh, Father, as we think about this thought of how to judge people. So, Father, we do love you. We do thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for nobody deserves it any more than thee. For it's in Jesus' name I humbly pray and ask. Amen and amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I see that is a great need in our lives today is a good amount of discernment. Discernment is simply illustrated in the Oxford Dictionary as the ability to make good judgment. The responsibility of judging righteous things has been given to you and I as born-again believers, but many don't seem to have the capacity of righteous judgment. And Jesus addresses this matter of righteous judgment here in Matthew chapter number 7. You know, the world is really not fond of quoting Jesus Christ, but they do love to quote him there in this passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, they might not even know John 3 and verse 16, but I can guarantee you what the lost world, your backslidden friends and family and next door neighbors will have memorized Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1. But this verse does not mean that every kind of judgment is wrong. It's not a blanket statement against all kinds of critical thinking and judgment. If that's what it's meant, there would be criminals running through the streets. Jails would be open and empty, and this country would be in a total chaos. That's not what it means here. And nor does it mean that we are not to condemn wrongdoing. And we should call sin what it is. We should call sin, sin, and boldly take a stand against any unrighteousness. These verses are not telling you and I that it's wrong to judge people. Whatever this passage is teaching us, it's not teaching us that we are to be pacifist, never pointing out the wrong that we see in the world. It's not telling us that we ought to turn a blind eye towards sin. It's not even telling us that we should embrace all kinds of immoral, illegal, and ungodly lifestyles inside or even outside of the church. It's not telling us that we should accept everybody just as they are. If that were the case, then the preacher, the pastor, the preacher of the gospel would never condemn sin or any other ungodly, wicked, or worldly practices that he sees and hears of in and outside the church. And if that were the case, then the church would never exercise church discipline. And if that were the case, then there would be no standards for church membership or requirements for leadership here at Sharon Baptist Church. You have to continue to read the context of the statement, I believe, to really understand what the Lord is saying concerning this idea of judgment and judging other people. And as we have just read this passage, we can discover that there is truly a righteous judgment, but it must be expressed with careful discernment and not with a critical spirit. Henceforth, where many of us as believers fail, we want to give a righteous judgment, but we want to do it with a critical spirit, and by doing that, you're not really judging in the right manner. I believe there's four things as we speak about how to judge people that we are not to judge them by. And so notice, first of all, you don't turn there, but in John 7, in verse number 24, we find that we're not to judge by outward appearance. Not to judge by outward appearance. I don't know about you, but if I'm guilty of making bad judgment, not making having spiritual discernment in the area of judgment, this one has to come to the forefront of myself. When I'm at leaving Walmart, there's always someone standing on the corner and they're holding a sign up that says they're a vet and they need money. I'm judging them by their outward appearance. As a matter of fact, if I come down to a certain block and I see people just standing around, I look at them and what the first thing I do is check the lock on my door to make sure that the door is locked. What am I doing? Am I being safe? Well, yes, perhaps, but in reality, I am judging them. And I want us to be careful that we don't judge just by the outward appearance. If we just judge by the outward appearance, you know, we could look at Pastor James and say, I don't like him. He's too tall. And I'm only 5'2" and eyes are blue and he's 6 foot something. He's too tall. I'm judging him. You can look at your pastor and say, well, he's about the right height, but his stomach sticks out just a little bit too far. It ought to be for a preacher. He ought to know about that sin of gluttony, if anybody should know about it. And he begin to judge. But be careful. We judge people by their dress, by their hair, what they look like. And I want you to understand that in John 7, in verse number 24, we find these wonderful words that says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There again, we oftentimes, as independent Baptists and Christians, and no matter what our stripe is of our religious preference or the church we go to, is that we want to judge, but we don't have righteous judgment, and we don't have judgment, and we try to judge people by their outward appearance. And I don't think you and I ought to be like the Pharisees that judge on the outward appearance. That's how they judged people when they came to give their tithes and offerings and give their sacrifices. But the Bible teaches us that we are to judge righteously according to God's principles and according to the laws of God. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Speaking about judging and outward appearance, there was a teacher, a lady by the name of Doty, was a teacher for over 13 years in a public school. And finally, after the close of the school at the beginning of June, she made a decision that she's going to travel across America and see some of the sites she's been teaching about for the last 13 years. And I think that'd be a wonderful thing to do, to be able to get into a truck and a trailer and drive across America and see all of America. She was traveling alone in a truck with a camper in tow. She launched out from the place where she lived. One afternoon, she was riding a curve on the I-5 near Sacramento in rush hour traffic, and her water pump blew on her truck. She was tired, exasperated, scared, and alone. And in spite of the traffic jam that she caused on the I-5 near Sacramento in the middle of rush hour, no one seemed interested in helping her out. So leaning up against her trailer, she quickly whiffed off a prayer to God. Please, God, send me an angel, preferably one with some mechanical experience. She said within 4 minutes, she heard loud noise coming up beside her trailer. And there was a huge Harley Davidson motorcycle drove up right beside her, pulled off in front of her truck. That Harley Davidson was ridden by a man who was very big. He had long black hair. He had a beard. He had tattoos. He was wearing leather and had chains hanging down from his belt. And with an incredible air of confidence, he jumped off his motorcycle without even glancing at Dodie and went straight to work on her truck. Within another few minutes, he flagged down a larger truck, a 18-wheeler that was by itself, didn't have any trailer that he was towing, and he attached a tow train to the frame of that disabled Chevy and pulled that 56-foot rig off the freeway onto a side street where he calmly continued to work on the water pump. Well, the intimidated school teacher was too dumbfounded to really say anything to this biker, especially when she read those paralyzing words on the back of his leather jacket that said, "Hell's Angels, California." As he finished the task, she finally got up the courage to say, "Thank you so very much." And she began to carry on a very brief but very solemn conversation with the man. And noticing her surprise at the whole ordeal, the biker looked up at her straight in the eye and he mumbled these words, "Don't judge a book by the cover. You may not know who you're talking to." And with that, he just smiled, closed the hood of the truck, straddled his Harley Davidson motorcycle, fired it back up, and with a wave, he was gone as fast as he appeared. She hopped in her truck, took off, and continued on her journey. Not to judge by outward appearance. But you know what? It's not only school teachers that were broke down on I-5 outside Sacramento, California. Do you know that sometimes pastors and people in ministry as well are susceptible to judging other people by their appearance? There was a Church of England bishop by the name of Bishop Potter, and he set sail for Europe, returning back from one of his trips to America, and he was crossing the ocean on one of those great transatlantic ocean liners of that day. And when he went on board, he found that another passenger had been booked to share his cabin with him. And when I read this illustration, I thought, dear God, can you imagine that? Booking a room on a ship and there's two single beds and you not knowing who's going to sit and sleep beside you for that whole passage, we'd be frightened to death here in America. And so that's what they did in those days. And so the bishop went to check his accommodation out, and he came back to the purser's desk and he inquired if he could leave his gold watch and his other valuables in the ship safe. And the purser went on to say, "Yes, we can do that." And the Bishop Potter, he said, "You know what, I don't normally do this. I don't use the ship's safe very often," he said. "But I went to the cabin and I met the man who was going to occupy my room for the trip across the ocean. And judging from his appearance, he was afraid that he might not be a very trustworthy person," is what he told the purser. So the purser took responsibility for the valuables, his watch and his money and other things that he had, and he put them in the safe. And he said, "It's all right, Bishop Potter, don't worry about it. I'll be very glad to take care of these things for you." The other man had already been up here, and he left his for the same reason. Boy, oh boy, I told you can't trust a man of God, can you? The truth of the matter is, you and I are just like those two. We judge people by appearances. And if we're going to learn how to judge people, first thing we're going to have to do is understand that we cannot judge people by their appearances. And I'm so glad about that because, you know, even if I'm dressed in my best suit, sometimes the appearance of my attitude or the appearance of my actions or the appearance of my words, if you allow me to use that, sometimes are not what would be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that we don't always judge people by their appearance. But then notice here in our text in Matthew 7 in verses 2 and 3, we find there is another thing that we should not do if we are going to judge people. And look in Matthew 7 verses 2 and 3. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eyes. Notice, secondly, in Matthew 7, and verses 2 and 3, we should not judge, or don't judge, with a double standard. Somebody say, oh me, oh my, I've been there and done that. I sent the postcards and bought the colored t-shirts. We oftentimes do that. We judge with a double standard. Understand this, that according to this passage, that God will judge you by the same standards that you judge other people with. Do you expect a lot of things from other people around you? Guess what? God's going to expect a lot of things from you as well. If you expect high standards from your wife and your husband or your children, guess what? God's going to expect that same kind of high standards from you as well. And if you keep harping on how bad it is now and complaining that Christians today aren't what they used to be, then God someday is going to ask you if you are the Christian that you used to be. You see, when the Lord uses these words, judge not, it's not an absolute prohibition against judging or to judge. It's a warning to err on the side of caution. You know, you're better off really not judging than to judge unrighteously. Remember, our judgment ought to be righteous judgment. You're better off to be merciful than to be over-judgmental and critical. I like what James says in James 2 and verse 13. He says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. If you judge and don't show any mercy, God will judge you just as you have judged others, and his judgment will be without mercy. If you have mercy, God will have mercy on you. Mercy is the most desirable thing in the child of God, even more desirable than a critical spirit, because you can't go wrong with mercy. You can never go wrong giving mercy, but you can oftentimes go wrong in judgment. So, my friend, oftentimes instead of judging, we ought to give mercy. You know, Paul brought out this principle in Romans chapter number 2. Let's turn there very quickly, Romans chapter number 2. Look at verses 1 and 3. So we're not to judge with a double standard. Romans 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul writing and says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemn thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. So in other words, if you're going to preach that a man shouldn't steal, don't steal. If you're going to say a man should not have committed adultery, guess what? Do not commit adultery. You say, well, why should I be that way? Because you'll be judged by the same standards that you judge other people with as well. Well, we're not to judge by external appearances. We're not to judge by a double standard. But notice, thirdly, in verses 3 and 4, we find that we're not to judge with a destructive spirit. Notice verses 3 and verse number 4. And why beholdest thou thy mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Judgment is wrong when you judge by wrong standards and in the wrong spirit. You know, the only standard for you and I to judge any people by or anything by is the Word of God. It's not your standards. It's not your opinions. It's not even your thoughts. It's not your feelings. It's not even your conviction. It's only the standards as outlined in the Word of God. You know, our judgment can still be wrong even if we use the right standard. So you say, well, okay, Pastor, I'm going to judge this person, but I'm going to use the standard of the Word of God. But understand, your judgment may still be wrong if you don't do it in the right spirit. That's why the Bible tells us, they which are spiritual, restore such as one that has fallen off into sin. You must be a spiritually minded person, a spiritually mature person, walking with the Lord, in order that you might restore such as one that has fallen from the Lord. The spirit of judgment must not be corrective or even constructive, not condemning and critical. So when we go to judge someone and go to speak to them, we ought to have a corrective mindset. We ought to have a constructive mindset that we are going to help them be what they ought to be for Christ, and not condemning and not critical. And I tell you what, sometimes when we judge people, most of our judgment is not corrective or constructive, and most of the time it's condemning and critical. You know, when I say that most of the time, that includes you, and it also would include me. But God would have our judgment be corrective and constructive. You know, finding fault is not difficult if you're looking for fault. I mean, listen, if you want to find fault and you're determined to find fault, guess what? You can find fault. There's a lot of things to find fault in this world, in your spouse, your job, your family, your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, this church. But there are people who are so obsessed with others, they miss the bigger problem in their own life. And they do not get this idea of don't judge with a destructive spirit. And usually they're complaining spirit. Usually they're complaining about little petty things. And it's usually a cover of even something greater in their own lives. And I've seen this to be true so many times. A person who's really judging and pointing fingers usually has something they're trying to hide in their own lives that's even bigger than what they're pointing out. And the Pharisees were a very classic example of this. They were always finding fault in other people, but they were missing their own state of condemnation before a holy and righteous God. So they stood there and even condemned people as they brought their offerings and brought their sacrifices, but they never looked at their own sinful heart. They never condemned themselves. And so we need to understand, if we judge people, we ought not to judge with a double standard. The Lord uses this illustration here in Matthew chapter number 7 of a man really walking down the road. He has a big beam sticking out of his eye, telling another man who has a little speck in his eye, that a piece of sawdust, that he wants to remove it for him. And he's showing really just the ridiculous nature of what it is to judge other people when we're blind to our own faults. And I think most of the time that probably a lot of us, many of the time that we go to judge, we're not even qualified to judge because we have a beam in our own eye trying to remove a speck of dust out of someone else's eye. And God says, don't judge by double standards. You see, the man who's that way exposes really the blind. He's blind to his own failures. He's blind to his own faults, and he's obsessed with the faults of others. Notice verse number 3 of our text. The Lord asked, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? That word to behold something is just not to notice it, but it means to look intently at something. It means just to stare at it to the point where you can't even get over it, that it so bothers you that you just keep looking and looking and looking and looking. I want you to know that we're not to judge with a double standard, and we'll be judged as we judge other people. We're not to judge with a destructive spirit, but we're to judge with the spirit of the Lord, and we're not to judge by outward appearances. But then notice something else in verse number 5, and lastly we'll see tonight, don't judge with a defective story in verse number 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Notice in verse 5, then thou shalt see clearly. It is possible that the fault that you see in your brother's eye is really not a fault at all. It could be because as you look at your brother and perceive a mote or a small speck in his eye, it could be that you can't see very clearly. You don't have any wise discernment, and you have faulty discernment because you got a beam coming out of your own eye. And if you remove the plank of wood or the beam of wood out of your own eyeball, you'll get a much clearer vision. And it could be when you take a second look at the brother that you're about ready to judge, it might just be that you'll see your brother in a more favorable line. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Isaiah 9 in verse number 14, the Bible says this: "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter." There is no way that you can execute any kind of justice, number one, unless you know the truth. And the truth is found and contained in God's words. Most injustices aren't done when the one making the judgment doesn't have all the facts. And so oftentimes we look out and we judge maybe by appearances, and we don't have a righteous judgment. And it's because we don't garner and gather all the facts of the situation. We hear one little part of it, but not the whole story, my friend. I ask you to be careful in doing that. Well, in the old times, an accusation against an elder was not even heard by judges unless it was brought by at least two witnesses. Now, listen to me. When the two witnesses came to the elders at the gate, guess what? They came and they gave the description of what they thought they'd seen and what needed to take place. Listen, those two witnesses were a cause for an investigation, not for a verdict. So no one would be judged by just two witnesses. Two witnesses caused an investigation by the elders of the city, and they would further investigate it. Never convict people for what it looks like they have done. Never convict people for what it looks like they have done. We need good judgment. We must be able to discern both good and evil. We need even to be able to judge good and judge bad people. But we must be careful of having a judgmental spirit as we judge people. We must be careful to not to judge on outward appearances alone. We must be careful of judging others by different standards than by we judge ourselves, being hypocrites. We must be careful of judging without having all the facts gathered together. We must be careful of having no mercy in our judgment, as we saw from this morning's message. And Jesus pointedly tells us this, that before we judge people, we are to look at our motives and conduct instead of judging other people first. And if we find our motives are pure and our judgment is right, it's based upon the Word of God, then it might possibly be that you can have righteous judgment on another brother or sister in the Lord. The traits that bother us the most in other people are often the exact same ones, the habits that we want to get rid of in our own life. I wonder this evening, do you find it easy to magnify the faults of other people, but ignoring the beam that is in your eye? If you're ready to criticize someone, check to see if you deserve the same criticism. If you're looking at them, say, for their church attendance, look at your own church attendance. And you say, well, I attend church regularly, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every other time we're going to be here, and that's good. But you know what? Go a little bit deeper. Say, am I coming to the house of the Lord to grow and to learn from the preaching of the Word of God? Don't take it just for face value. Are you ready to criticize someone? You need to check and see if you deserve that same kind of criticism. Judge yourself first. Take care of yourself first. Pull the beam out of your own eye. Then look again, because it might possibly be that the speck that's in their eyes might not even be there. And judge yourself first, then graciously forgive them for their faults and their sinfulness, and then help them get to where they need to be in this life. Well, we see a lot about judging here in Matthew chapter number 7. I pray during the days and weeks to come that you would take this message to heart. This passage is not teaching that we should never judge, but if and when we do and have a requirement to, make sure it's righteous judgment based upon the Word of God. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Oh, Father, I don't know where we would be without your wonderful mercy. So, Father, now I pray as we close this message, Father, thinking about how to judge people, Father, we would understand that we're not to judge by an outward appearance. We're not to judge by a double standard or by a destructive spirit. And we're not to judge with a defective story. Oh, Father, help us to apply these biblical truths to our lives. Oh, Lord, that we might be the kind of Christian that the Lord Jesus would have us to be. So, Father, we turn this invitation over to you and ask, Lord, that you would bless as only you can do. Be with your people, Father, meet every need. Father, if there's some that need help in this area of judging, I pray, Father, they would heed the warning from the Word of God this evening. And Lord, we love you and thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please.